All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 this morning. I want to read several verses. We've been studying on Wednesday nights for the last several months pictures of Christ in the book of Genesis. And as I have been studying for these Wednesday night lessons, every now and then I've seen a sermon or two. So, and this is one that that I saw as we were studying the life of Noah and looking at the pictures of Christ in Noah. And so I'd like to read to you the covenant that God made with Noah after they got off the ark. And God made a covenant with Noah, and I want to speak to you about that this morning. So we'll begin reading in verse 1, Genesis chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, and the dread of you, shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." You ever wonder why the deer are afraid of you? They see you out in the woods, and man, they scoot. Why? Well, it is built into them the fear of man. That happened after the flood. That makes you wonder, what was it like for the 2,000 years before the flood? Did they eat meat? Did they eat the animals? Was there any fear of the animals before the flood? Well, some things God answers and some things God doesn't answer. And there's some things we're just going to have to wait till we get to heaven before we find out the answer to them. But this is why today the animals are fearful of man. If you look at verse 3, God said, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat." So they were not to eat blood, the animals with the animal's blood. I personally like my steak a little rare, but I don't like blood in it. And I think I'm in good standing with God on that issue, don't you? But look at verse 5. Verse 5, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, shall his blood be shed." That's what we call capital punishment. All right. Now, our do-good liberal society is getting away from capital punishment. There are still some states that have capital punishment. In other words, if you kill somebody, then the state will kill you back. All right. Basically, it's against the law to take a life. And if you take a life, then your life will be required. That's what this is saying. Look at verse 6. He said, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." All right, so God condemns the taking of a life. Verse 7, "And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my, what's the next word? Covenant. I establish my covenant with you. If you would make a mental note or underline that word in your Bible, I'm going to speak about that this morning. Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh. Here's the covenant. This is what God told Noah. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Now remember, Noah had just gotten off the boat. The ark landed on Mount Ararat, and they just got off the boat. And God made a covenant with him that I will no longer, never again, destroy the earth with water, with a flood. And God said, verse 12, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. You know what that means? That means this covenant is still in effect today. We're still operating under this covenant. And here is the sign, the token. Verse 12, this is the token of the covenant. Verse 13, I do set my bow, rainbow. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. I want to speak to you this morning about this covenant that God made with Noah. We're going to talk about the meaning, about the impact, learn some lessons about the rainbow that God put in the sky. All right, let's pray together. We'll ask the Lord to bless and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And when we have questions, the Word of God has the answers. I pray you'll help us this morning to see this covenant and to understand what is being said here and how it applies to our lives, how it applies to us. So I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak today. Father, I also want to pray for those listening. Just ask that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Guide and direct through the message. May the Lord be honored, lifted up. And Father, may you draw all of us closer to you. If there is someone here today who is not sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may they realize their need of the Savior today. Guide and direct us now, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how you feel about these first several chapters in the book of Genesis, but these chapters which tell us about Noah and this great flood, which I believe was a universal flood. I don't believe it was a localized thing. I believe it was a universal flood. They had all these pictures this week on the news about finding whale bones perfectly uncovered out in the plains, out in the west somewhere. And they were scratching their heads trying to figure out how that whale get in the middle of the desert. That whale got out there because of the universal flood that God sent upon this earth. If we just believe the Bible answers all the questions. The scientists today, they have 1,000 questions or 1,000,000 questions. And the Bible has 1,000,000 answers. The Bible will fix what's broken. It will explain what needs explained. It's not that complicated. But men just simply will not take God for at face value, and they think that they have to come up with their own solutions. Well, I read these chapters about this flood, and when I read them, I try to put myself in Noah's spot, try to put myself back in Noah's day. And I wonder, wow, what must it have been like to be Noah? What must it have been like? What must Noah have thought when he walked off that ark and not one soul could be found anywhere? That's sobering to me. You know, whenever we have today a brush with death, either through sickness or through an accident, there is always a thought in our minds that maybe the Lord is saying something to us. Maybe God is speaking to our hearts. Whenever there's a brush with death, there's always the thought that maybe God has given me a fresh new start. Maybe God is giving me a second chance or a new lease on life. I've been in the ministry for a long time, 38 years now. And I have seen a lot of folks through the years who had a near-death experience, or they got word that they had some disease, and then here they come running to church with their faces steadfastly set towards Jerusalem. Now, seems like now they want to serve the Lord. You know, God has a way of getting our attention, doesn't he? God has a way of waking us from our apathy, and I've noticed this through the years. Some tragedy comes, some brush with death, and man, here they come, and they want to now serve the Lord. Sometimes I've seen it last. I mean, it stuck. God actually got their attention. I've seen others where it lasted a week or two, and then I've seen others where it lasted that one service, and then they were gone. But usually, after some traumatic event, we find ourselves with a renewed enthusiasm towards the Lord. And I can imagine Noah must have had this thought burning in his mind as he stepped off the ark on the Arminian mountain of Ararat. How fitting in verse 1. That the first thing that happened when Noah got off the ark was that God pronounced a blessing upon him and his family. That certainly had to help Noah deal with all that had just happened. That certainly had to bring comfort to his heart. Just knowing that God was smiling down upon him and upon his family. But there is something else that I thought of that I think anybody who has had some traumatic event take place in his life would have to contend with. I can imagine that Noah had to live with the fear that if it happened once, then it could happen again. You with me on that? He had to live with the fear of massive judgment happening again. Can you imagine living with that fear? Don't you think that he would have lived the rest of his days looking over his shoulder and wondering, is this going to happen a second time? Every time a storm blew up, every time the storm cloud started to form out to the west, and the wind picked up and the temperature dropped and the thunder began to roll, in the back of Noah's mind must have been the thought, oh no, here we go again. Can this happen again? And you know, I was wondering, how far away from the security of the ark did Noah live out the rest of his days? If I were Noah, I don't think I would have ventured too far away from that big old floating boat. Do you? I would have stayed as close to that thing as I possibly could have stayed. And that brings me to the text that I want to preach this morning. It was for this reason, and not only for his child Noah's sake, but for the sake of all humanity, that God entered into a covenant with Noah in this chapter. That covenant is found in these 17 verses that I read for you just a moment ago. Now, the question is this: what is a covenant? It is something of great importance in the scripture, and it is a word that is found many, many, many times throughout your Bible. I don't know if anybody's ever said this to you before or you've ever read it anywhere, but I was a little shocked when I read this years ago, but I've never forgotten it. The word religion is not found in our Bibles. Isn't that something? The word religion is not found in your Bible. You say, well, Pastor, why do you think that is? Well, I think that is because religion is something man creates. And Christianity, salvation, is what God has created. There's a world of difference. Religion is man reaching up to God, but Christianity is God reaching down to fallen man. There's a world of difference. And the word, instead of religion that is used in the Bible, instead of religion, the word that God uses is the word covenant. God makes covenants with us. A covenant, the word covenant is found over 300 times in your Bible. That's amazing, isn't it? A covenant is a mutual agreement. It is a compact between two people or sets of people. Your Bible is divided into two covenants: the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Testament and the New Testament. That's what a covenant is. It's a testament. The Old Covenant was first made with Abraham and established with Moses on Mount Sinai. The New Covenant was ratified with the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross of Calvary. But in the Old and New Covenants, there were some other covenants that God made with mankind. Sometimes he made that covenant with individuals, like here with Noah. Sometimes with people, like he made with the Jews. But there are some other covenants that God has made. One such covenant was established with Noah when he got off the ark. And it is interesting, when you study these covenants in the Bible, it is interesting that God always gave a token when he made a covenant. He gave a sign of that covenant. With the old covenant, the law that he gave to Moses and made with the Jews, the token of that covenant was circumcision. With the new covenant, the token is the bread and the cup, the Lord's table, communion. Every 6 weeks in our church, we celebrate the new covenant. On Sunday night, we take the bread and we take the cup and we distribute it among our church family. And we remember the covenant that was made when Christ gave his life on Calvary's cross. And so when God made this covenant with Noah, the sign and the seal of that covenant was the rainbow in the sky. Oh, how Noah's fears must have been calmed when a huge storm blew up and he got scared in his heart and afraid in his soul and thought to himself, oh no, here it comes again. But then the clouds parted and there came the rainbow out of the clouds. And Noah remembered God's promise to never destroy the earth with water again. Now, there are three things that I glean from this covenant. If you just take your bulletin and just write down these three things where you can look at them as I explain them, I think it will help you. I think it will bless you and give you something to study this week as you think on these things. The first thing I want you to see here, write this down. There is unchanging purpose in the most changing things. Write that down. There is unchanging purpose in the most changing things. Now, would you just think about what I just said? Unchanging purpose in the most changing things. If there is one thing we learn as we go through life, it is this: everything changes. Our bodies change. Oh my goodness. Our bodies change. Our thinking changes. Our hearts change. Everything is always in a state of change. But folks, think about this. Nothing changes quite as dramatically as the clouds. They're in perpetual motion. The point that I'm making, there is unchanging purpose in the most changing things. All of us at some time or another has looked at the clouds and said, ooh, 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 look, that cloud looks like a big fish. Oh, that cloud looks like a dinosaur. And how many times have we been in the car with the kids and to entertain them, we've said, oh, look at that cloud. That looks like, and then we watch and the kids all ooh and ah and say, no, no, I think it looks like, and then we all sit and watch as it morphs seconds later into some other image. Not for more than a couple of minutes is the form of a cloud the same. And yet that was the tablet whereon was signed the covenant that was to be unchanging and under which mankind would function forever. And brethren, we're still functioning under this covenant that God made with Noah. In verse 13 and 14, God said the bow in the cloud was a token of the covenant. And that covenant has never been broken by God. I remember a few years ago when one of the hurricanes came up the coast and came ashore and went through Carroll County. And I remember standing in the garage door and looking out and watching the wind. And I remember smiling and saying, okay, God, don't forget what you said to Noah, because the water was starting to pile up. But God always honors his covenants. And the world has never been destroyed with water since. Imagine the devastation that that flood brought. And no doubt it grieved God's heart to have to destroy the world in such an horrific fashion. So much so that he promised never to do it again. You see, folks, the next time the earth will be purified, it will be purified by fire. Both Peter and John in the New Testament saw the last days, and they saw the earth purified of sin and the effects of sin through fire, not water. And John saw in the book of the Revelation a new heaven and a new earth, and he saw that new heaven and new earth emerge from that which was set aflame. And he said that when that new heaven and new earth comes, there will be no more sin. But from the day the promise was made to Noah, God has never broken that promise. Now, what can we learn from that? Can we not learn that that even though our lives change with the passing of each and every day, there is one unchanging eternal purpose that stands underneath all the changes? And here it is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might. This is the purpose of God for your life and mine. Yes, folks, everything changes. Everything in life changes. And it changes all the time. But this never changes. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That never changes. This never changes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what you and I need to realize is that there is unchanging purpose in the most changing things. And we see that in these clouds. Clouds are always changing. But boy, aren't you thankful that many a time in your life, you have walked out and you saw the rainbow coming out of the clouds. Wow. God has never gone back on his word. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord is your personal Savior, let me tell you something, folks. It never changes. Never changes. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. There's a second principle that I want you to glean from this. Write this down. Here we go. You ready? That which we dread, God can illuminate and use to bless us. Oh, just think about that. That which we dread, God can illuminate and use to bless us. If there was one thing that scared the daylights out of Noah, it was the clouds rolling in. Man, if he woke up and looked out on the western sky and saw a storm coming, can you imagine the fear that must have been in his heart? 20 years ago, when we moved here, we had this English bulldog. She was about that long and about that wide. 60 pounds of blubber. Oh, she was a mess. Her name was Daisy May. Her mother's name was Greta Garble. Seriously. And we named her Daisy May. Sweetest dog. Oh, sweetest dog in the world. She had these little bowed legs. Her legs were only about that long. And they were bowed. And when she walked, you thought she was going to rub her belly on the floor, on the ground. I mean, she because her legs were so bowed. And her hind legs were bigger than her front legs. And so she was a little raised up in the back. And then she had this great big old bulldog head. Her jaw jutted out, two teeth sticking up. Fierce looking thing. But the biggest baby you ever saw in your life. 60 pounds of fun. But that dog was scared to death of a storm. Scared her. Oh my. I knew when a storm was coming. It could be sunny, everybody out mowing grass, playing. But she knew that a storm was coming about a half an hour away usually. And she would come in and act all nervous and crawl underneath your legs, between your legs and the chair. Or she'd come and hide behind the couch. If a storm came in the middle of the night, Karen and I'd be sleeping away. Our bed this high off the floor. And that little stubby leg thing, we're sleeping away. We don't hear it. The storm is still out there. But all of a sudden, 60 pounds of blubber comes flying up in the bed. Oh, it scared the daylights out of us. Now, how it was miraculous that she could get from the floor over Karen into the middle of the bed. A feat which we have never quite understood. It was not possible for her to do that, you would think. But she was scared to death of a storm. Now imagine the fear that gripped Noah's heart when he saw a storm moving in. I can imagine the memories of the flood came rushing over him, and it would cause his heart to sink. And he would say out loud, "Oh no, not again." Yet it was there that God Almighty set his rainbow in the clouds. It was right there. It was that very terror that God illuminated. And the second he saw the rainbow radiating out from the billowing clouds, a sense of calm swept over his heart, and he had to know that God would ever be true to his word. No doubt he understood that God had touched with his powerful hand the very object that was the source of Noah's dread. The rainbow has since then been a constant reminder of God's promise. You ever hear that old adage, there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? You ever hear that adage? I found out what that means. A couple years ago, it was a Friday, and around 4 o'clock, you could hear a storm coming. And I said, I'm getting out of here before the storm hits. And I went out, got in my car, and as soon as I shut the door, the heavens opened up. Oh my, it was one of those humdingers. And I backed my car out and took off out the back. And when I got over on Center Street, that storm was, man, it was crashing. You couldn't see. You could feel the wind hitting against the car. Folks were panicking as they were driving because you couldn't see. The rain was so hard. And the wind blowing. It was awful. I got down to the Pizza Hut, to the stoplight, and turned right to go down Cranberry and work my way over to Bachman Valley. And as I turned, the wind started blowing the rain into the side of the car. Stuff was blowing across the road. I got down to the end and crossed the railroad tracks and turned up, and I'm going back into the teeth of the storm again. Thank goodness it was only for a little ways. And it took me a little while to get home because the weather was so fierce. And I got out Bachman Valley, and as I pulled down into our subdivision, it just quit. It was just like God reached over and just turned this spigot off. So I went down and turned in the driveway, and I thought, well, it's quit raining, I'll get the mail. So I put the car in drive, got out, walked over, got the mail out of the mailbox, came back in, sat down, and was leafing through the mail to see what bills we'd gotten that day. And when I finished looking through, I looked up and the sun was shining. I looked out and the storm, that quickly that storm had blown through. I went on up the driveway, pulled in the garage, and when I got out of the car, I shut the door and walked out onto the driveway. And what moved me toward the driveway was something that I had never seen before. And I stepped out. I thought, what in the world is going on? And when I stepped out where I was beyond the eave of the house, there was a rainbow that came out of those clouds and landed in my front yard. The rainbow literally touched. You could see where it touched in my front yard. I took pictures of it with my cell phone. And everything, I mean everything, it's all wet, remember? And here comes this rainbow down, and it's touching in my front yard. And everything looked like it had been painted with liquid gold. It was a hue, it was a tint that I will never forget. And I stood there for several minutes and just looked at it and thought, wow, there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's not literal gold. But man, you sure did think that there was gold out there glistening with the rays of the sun upon it. It was the most amazing thing. Minutes later, lightning, thunder, driving rain, howling winds, all an indication of just how violent nature can be. But the next minute, it was as if the peace and calm of heaven had fallen. Isn't it good to know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? I mean, we look at the ravages of sin all around us. We see death and destruction and disease and disaster and all the things that come as a result of man's sin. And then we realize that God has made a covenant with us. And there is no condemnation to those of us that are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's a comforting thought to my heart. And then lastly, Noah learned that there is mercy over the portal of God's dwelling. Now write that down and let me explain it. The third thing, Noah learned there is mercy over the portal of God's dwelling. Now, think with me. When you look at scriptures, you learn that the clouds are God's pavilion. You learn that the Lord Jesus ascended back to the Father in the clouds. You learn that when he comes back at the rapture of the church, he comes back in the clouds. The Bible says that the day is coming, and I think it's soon, folks. The day is coming when the Lord Jesus will step out on the clouds and will call us home, and we'll rise up to be with him. Take your Bible for just a minute. Go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Let me show you something. Revelation chapter 4. Notice this. All right, now what's the point I'm making? Number three, Noah learned there is mercy over the portal of God's dwelling. Now watch this. Look at verse 1. He says, after this, I looked. After what? After the church age. We have John here describing the rapture of the church. This is what's next on God's calendar. And in verse 1, he said, after this, after the church age, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Watch this now. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a what? Throne. A throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, you know who's sitting on that throne? The Lord Jesus, exactly. Look at verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a what? A what? A rainbow. Rest of you come to church. A what? A rainbow. Oh my. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now watch. And out of the throne, and who's sitting on that throne now? Jesus. And what's over top the throne? A rainbow. And out of the throne, so coming out, not over, but out of the throne, proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Folks, John said that clouds and thick darkness are about his throne. But in the thickness of those dark clouds, John saw a rainbow. Can you imagine how fearful John must have been to see his friend, his Savior, his Redeemer, sitting on the throne, and out of that throne he could see lightnings flash, he could hear thunders crashing, and coming out of the dark clouds around the throne. But it was then that he saw a rainbow around the throne. In 4:3, he saw that which was promised by God long ago to Noah. A token of a steadfast and sparing mercy that is available to all men. You see, folks, Noah learned a vital lesson on that day when God gave him the promise. Noah learned that there was mercy where God dwells. And brethren, there's still mercy today. If you're here today and you don't know Christ is your Savior, I want you to know that's your fault, not God's. God's willing to save. If you just will, God will save your soul. If you'll just trust Him. Why? Because mercy is available in this world of thunder and lightning and storm and devastation and destruction and misery and heartache. But in the midst of it, there's a rainbow. And God will save if you'll just let Him save you. Oh, the good news is, folks, there is still mercy available from the throne of God. On a physical level, the storm would come up and it would rage and it would threaten. But soon, the token of God's mercy would appear, a bright and brilliant rainbow. And a smile would come over Noah's face as he remembered God's covenant of mercy. And may we ever remember the covenant of mercy that has been made with us. Can I remind you, folks, the psalmist said it this way. He said, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. 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 I don't deserve His mercy, and neither do you. But no matter how bad things get in life, let's always remember that our Lord's mercy endureth forever. Folks, bottom line is when God makes a covenant, He will not, He cannot break His covenant. He can't do it. He cannot do it. 4,000 years after the flood, we are still looking at rainbows after storms. And we are still remembering that God promised never to destroy the world again with water. Still today, a rainbow gives a natural sense of comfort to every heart. We were down at the beach a couple weeks ago, and there's a pool behind the condominium that we stay in, and we had all the grandkids out at the pool. Everybody was playing, and they had a ball. They were playing with a ball, and Brendan grabbed that ball and he said, "Here, Papa." He threw the ball at me. So I threw the ball back to him. And then he wound up and, whew, man, just, boom. So being the good grandfather that I am, I go and I get the ball. I bring it back, throw it here, Papa. So I threw it to him again. And then he goes, boom, sends it, whew, there it goes again. I said, all right, one more time. I went and got the ball. And I said, now throw it here. All right, here it comes. And there it went again. I said, all right, I'm done. You go get it. So he ran over and he got the ball. And then he came back. And as he turned around and came back, he stopped and he pointed. And he said, rainbow! I turned around and looked. Sure enough, there was a rainbow in the sky. And every one of those kids stopped and watched that rainbow, fascinated by the rainbow. And I saw an opportunity and I said, guys, do you know what that rainbow's for? And every one of them said, well, yeah, that means God's not going to destroy the earth with a flood anymore. Amen. Yeah, that's what it is. Everybody knows that. Folks, God has never gone back on His word. Can I give you another little word that God will not go back on? You ready for it? Here it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can't go back on that. If you call upon Him, He is bound by the covenant to save your soul. Have you trusted Him as your Savior?